This podcast is brought to you by Plus One. Plus One is breaking down barriers and outdated taboos regarding sexual self-pleasure with their line of beautiful, high-performance and affordable sexual wellness devices and products. Plus One has already made major strides towards eliminating the stigma of sexual self-pleasure by making beautiful packaged sexual wellness products available at selected Dis-Chem pharmacies nationwide. Plus One devices are also available at selected intimate stores and click stores online. All products are manufactured with the highest quality body-safe silicone and are waterproof. Plus One devices have 10 vibration settings and come with a USB charging cable for ease of use. Please find at selected Dis-Chem stores or Clicks online store and follow them on Facebook at +1ZA, all written out, and Instagram +1_ZA. Thank you to Plus One for supporting and breaking the stigmas of sexual self-pleasure. This is what we need. Welcome to another episode of Open Wide Say Ah with myself, Lekka Lawless. This is the podcast where we talk about all things sex. We try to keep it fun, informative. It's the chat that we never get to have. I don't know about your friends, but my friends love to talk about sex. And so today I am actually joined by two of my friends. They are a power interracial queer ass couple. They both produce work together, they create together, they're also individually really powerful, and their sex life is a whole other superpower. So welcome, and if you can just give us a short little introduction of who you are, why we should know you, and why we should want to be curious about your sex.
Jeez, that's loaded. Okay, well, I am an actor, aspiring filmmaker, sort of embracing and living in my queerness. I love sex and very sex positive. I think by the end of this conversation, people might understand why they should hear about my sex life. I'm not going to say why now.
Sure.
I think they can come to the conclusion at the end of this. But yeah, that is me.
Okay.
I am student, and I am a arts administrator, I guess, is the best way to maybe do it, say it. Producer, arts administrator, everything, management in the arts.
Okay.
And I'm probably that guy that a lot of people ignore on Grindr. So just to give you a bit of a visual reference.
He's not lying.
Yeah. And I'm so glad the intro, you like, we talk about sex a lot because we do. And then honestly, I find myself like, we actually maybe just need to chill out a bit.
Yeah.
Because maybe, you know.
Because if you notice, every time we chill, there is a moment the conversation goes to sex.
Yes.
And it's stays there for a while. In, yeah. Completely. And then I also question whether, should we pull back? Are we talking too much about sex? There's no like benchmark as to what's too much sex combos. Mm-hmm. Like,
I feel like I, in like some group of friends, I get the blame for making the conversation go to sex. But I have realized that like in most of my circles, I'm not actually the person that makes it go there. But
sure.
I am the person that, you know, encourages or takes further. But I'm not the one that's always starting the sex conversation. But I love that like our conversations just, that's what it goes to.
I think so too, because then we're learning from each other or like sharing some sort of thing that we can take back and be like, oh, but maybe this. You know?
So firstly, thank you for being here and thank you for being willing to like, you know, have a open conversation around your private life and your sex life.
Sure.
Because I think as like artists and professionals, it's difficult to keep things private.
Or also embrace that like very sex positive part, right? Because there's an idea of what professional is. And there is this idea that sex is considered taboo and sort of great sex exploration is considered bad and on the negative side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't be. I think we live in such a conservative society, or it appears that people are very conservative, but this all happens. People just need to talk about it.
Yeah.
It has to become normalized that we can have these sort of sexual escapades and you aren't considered a slut or a man whore or all of that sort of stuff, because that shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
You're like sexually liberated.
Yeah, I think that's it's a really important point. We really learn from each other the more we talk about sex. Like, the more we talk about, like, what we are doing or the fuck-ups or the new things that we've tried or, like...
Agreed.
You know, we really... We do, like, we learn and we get to embrace parts of ourselves that we thought were bad or stigmatized.
Yeah.
I mean, the two of you are, like, this really cute gay couple. Very, like, powerful, very, like... But, like, just in essence, like, a sweet couple.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Cute. But, like, where did this sexual exploration and awakening and just, like, was it always like this as a couple? Or when did this kind of begin?
We said we both love sex. Like, I can't imagine having boring sex, like, for the rest of my life.
Never.
Like, that is the worst thing on earth. Not saying the sex we have is boring. I'm not saying that. Or I don't want to have one type of sex my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we only live, if we're lucky, like 80, 90 years, of which less than that we can really engage in sexual relations. Like, why would I just want to have that limited?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like going to... I know it's a terrible analogy.
It's always the thing we say.
I always say this. But it's like having like one meal for the rest of your life.
And like, that meal can be amazing, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, we love a mutton curry. And that's bomb. It hits.
Yeah.
But maybe you feel like Thai today.
And we're not related that to any...
No, it's and I don't mean it in like a racial thing. I just mean it in like genuinely, maybe you want malva pudding for the rest of the week.
Yeah. Mm. So it all started like a few years ago. We broke up for a small period of time. And that breakup was due to a...
Wait, before you quickly go there, can I just add something and then
yeah.
you can... to quickly answer the first part of your question, I think we've always been very sexual beings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? From what I understand by your question, that's always been there. We've always been very open to trying stuff. We've been like that when we were monogamous, when we were like sort of that like... trying to emulate that heterosexual idea of what a queer relationship is. We were like that. We were still very adventurous, but within the confines of the relationship. Cool.
I was a like very sexual teen as well. Like anything I could put my dick into, like
me too.
Whether it was a toilet roll or like I would find it. So yeah.
Yeah. So then back to, we broke up for a period of time, four years ago.
And it took that breakup, that was a breakup for many reasons, but it took that breakup to make us realize, like, oh, shup, sex is one thing, but you still have to come home to something. Mm. So, you know, you can have...
I do want to reiterate that there was many things, but that's one of the realizations.
Yeah, that was one of the realizations that came out of it, is that we're still each other's best friends. Like, we still have each other's backs no matter what. And sex was just one aspect of it.
And we still found each other like flipping. You just want to grab the person across the room.
Well, that was one of the issues in the breakup, is that we still couldn't stop fucking.
My God. So we thought we'd break up. Cool. We would hook up with people. And really that it isn't why we broke up. But now that we were single, we had the avenue to sleep with other people.
Yeah.
Yet we still slept together. Probably some of the best sex we've ever had in our lives.
Mm.
Yeah.
We all know those breakups, though. Like, I have had a few where you say, okay, now it's done. And then the sex just pulls you back.
It pulls
and then
you back, man.
Because you've pulled back into the sex and you're fucking so frequently, you pull back into, like, the feels.
Oh, I'm very cold. I did not get pulled back into the feels.
So luckily, after a while, that happened. That finished, right? Like 3 months later, we're like, okay, shop, we literally cannot have sex anymore. Like, that's it.
It was 2 months, but sure.
Three months.
Too. Oh my gosh.
And then I had moved on and I'm like, okay, shop, I'm going to start pursuing other people. And then we went out and then Kate's like, so how's about we try this again? I'm like, oh, it must be nice now.
And then I said, I'll wait. And Brother Man came back.
And here we are, 9 years later.
9 years later?
Yeah.
How long have the two of you been dating in total?
From the breakup less, but almost nine years in total.
Yeah, it's about 9.5 years now. I think we've been together 5 years after the breakup now.
Wow, that's very cute. Yeah. I was in a so-called monogamous relationship for nearly 13 years.
Dude. Mm. God.
So I'm very proud of you that you're not monogamous.
Thank you.
That's what we say when we look at people.
You know, yeah, it makes me happy to see people not monogamous because that's not the benchmark anymore.
It's not the benchmark. And also, we see how fun it is to not be monogamous. And actually, I think you communicate even more and you give more attention and more specific time to each other when you are not monogamous. Otherwise, you just
agree.
You lay there, you lay on your phone, and then you act like, oh, we spend time together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was saying this to a hookup the other day, like 2 days ago. I hooked up with a cutie. And he was like, how do you do it? Like, is the sex not good? Is the whatever? I'm like, no, people have such a warped idea of open relationships, poly relationships, different relationships other than what we know. Mm. People have such a warped idea where they're like, must be a broken home. Must be, if anything.
Something must be lacking.
In some cases, maybe that's the case, right? However, in my case, and a lot of friends I know, is if anything, it pushes them to be more, to communicate a lot more, to be more in touch with their feelings and emotions. I don't see a negative.
Mm.
Like, you have room to love a lot more people in a different way.
Yeah.
We don't just have to sexualize people's bodies, right? Mm. Like, I can love your body because it's beautiful.
Mm.
And that's fine to want to have sex with someone who's beautiful and you find beautiful, no matter what your weight or anything, skin color, etc. Like, sex is a beautiful thing. And we need to start preaching that message that it's okay, then abstain or don't.
Yeah. I always say that around teaching in schools. Schools eventually started hating us because we're talking about like pleasure, where you are. Sure. I mean, at what age did you learn pleasure? You know, like you were pretty old and you had done quite a lot of fucking to then realize that like sex is actually, it can be like magical, it can be amazing, it can also be really shit. But if you focus on your pleasure, then you're not just like, oh, he came and now we're done and I didn't actually get what I want. But
I was speaking to about this the other day as well, and I'm a firm believer that sex education is so problematic the way it currently stands in schools and youth. But if we are taught how to pleasure ourselves and what is okay,
agreed,
we would I think be more confident in where to say no.
Yeah.
To know when it's not comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Because you've been there.
Yeah.
And you've had it in the safety of yourself to play with yourself,
with
others.
Yeah, then you know what doesn't feel good.
So when you are in a situation where you don't feel comfortable, you are confident in your no.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important to it as well.
Yeah.
To know your boundaries.
Yeah, also, if you are learning about sex and what good sex is, you will be learning about what consent is.
Completely. 100%.
And you'll understand what like feels good and what is a boundary.
Yeah.
But talking about being open and poly and boundaries and learning about your bodies, you know, I am polyamorous and it has taken a lot of work. Fuck, I'm tired. It's taken a lot of work. And there's always like navigating feelings and, you know, jealousy is... I don't see jealousy as a bad thing. It's a human thing. Mm. You know, like I can get jealous because you got the shoes before I got the shoes, you know? Mm. But how do you like navigate, I don't know, like the jealousies and the feelings that do come up and is there jealousy and is there boundaries around that? Because you both have like independent sexual lives as well as together. And so does jealousy creep up and what do you do?
So I wasn't a very jealous person before we were open or doing anything with anyone else. I'm just not that jealous as a person.
Mm.
But it was very interesting to experience what it was like having shame self with other people and spend time with other people and the varieties of ways you can do that, right? You can go and chill with someone and have dinner, and then you guys can go and fuck, right? Or you can just meet up on Grindr, have a quick go at it. And I think in the beginning we set up rules where it was never going to be dinner. It was always just going to be like one time with one person and you walk away. That's it.
Mm.
And I still found that with certain guys, I will get jealous. It doesn't have to be a dinner thing. It can just be a sexual thing, but I do get jealous. And I think I identify that as not against Blythe and an aggression towards Blythe, so that I'm not angry or anything. It's just, I feel some type of way. Let's talk about it. I might not want to hear everything right now because I'm processing mm-hmm. everything, but that doesn't mean I don't want to know. That's something we're very adamant on. We still get each other's sort of like, I don't want to necessarily say permission, but we're both very aware of where we're going, what we're doing. And afterwards, we want to chat about it like two friends. Like, how was your experience? Even with the jealousy, we still do that because it's just about like unpacking how we're feeling and communicating the whole time.
And that goes back to the initial thing of what you're speaking about. It's like it forces you into a position where you have to flesh out your emotion, which as society we taught is bad. Like, you're not allowed to feel jealous. You're not allowed to feel weak. You're not allowed to feel angry. Like, you have to be this perfect fucking while running person 24/7. But like said, it may not be on me that he feels jealous. It may be some introspection that he needs to do on himself. And that, like, this has forced us to do that. Me as well. You know, why do I feel this way?
Mm.
Where do those past traumas come from? Are they past traumas? Are they even traumas within this relationship?
Mm.
Or are they family tie traumas? So it, like...
And that doesn't necessarily mean we have to do that work together as well.
Not always, yeah.
Sometimes you might just be creating more stuff, but actually you just need to deal with it yourself. You have friends, you need to unpack it and know what you're going to say to your partner, because you also have to respect this sort of thing that you guys have.
Yeah.
And you don't want to turn something beautiful into something ugly because you're unpacking it in an offensive way.
Yeah.
And I love what you said is jealousy is a human thing. Like... That's just something that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for like, if we're speaking to people that are interested in, because I speak to a lot of people that are interested in moving to an open relationship or into a poly relationship, etc. And a lot of the time they're like, but I'm going to be jealous, Ooh. Like it's a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to be jealous and you will feel it, but you can also work through it. And that jealousy will show you things about yourself that you didn't even know. Which is a beautiful thing.
Or the idea that I'm not sharing my partner with anyone else. That was the biggest thing to me. I don't own He is not mine to own. I cannot have a say on what he does with his body. It's not my body. And vice versa. I own my body. And I think that was something we had to learn, that being in an open relationship, you're stepping away from that traditional idea of when you're with someone, you basically own them in a sense.
Mm.
It's crazy when you say it like that.
But that's exactly what
it's
it
really
is.
It's really possessive. And I always say people get like angry when I say like we have to queer up our relationships, because they're like, not only queer people are open or poly completely. And stuff. But it's what I mean by queering is that it's not this heteronormative way that we've been taught of, like, I put a ring on you
100%.
And you are now it's possessive mine. And it's ownership and you answer to me. And it's not that. Like if I go on a date or Gabe goes for a fuck, right? And we come back to each other, there's boundaries in place where I know I'm a jealous person. So immediately when you walk in, I don't want to know how amazing it was. I do not.
I think I'm grappling with that idea, because came home last week and he told me how amazing it was.
Listen, I couldn't help it.
Like, and when he said
it was that good that I had to tell someone.
Was that good that he couldn't help it. And I'm like, whoa. And then I had to unpack what that meant for me, and I did, and I knew what it meant, but I couldn't hear anything more that day. I was like, I'm done. Can we not talk about this?
Yeah.
We can talk about it tomorrow. And we woke up and he's like, can I tell you now? And I'm like, actually, I am fine with it.
Yeah, you just need some space. I've turned that into, like, literally, it's a boundary. Not that these are rules, these are flexible.
Mm, mm.
But like when I come home from a date or something, Gay wants to know everything. You know, like what, not every detail, but what are the things I should know so that I'm not surprised tomorrow.
Cool.
And
yes.
That yeah. When you've now shared it with a friend and the friend brings it up, it's something I should have known.
It's not a surprise.
You know, it's not a surprise. And he wants that immediately. Me, I want space. Yeah. Because everything you say, I'm going to be jealous, I'm going to be touched. Mm. Because I'm just like, I don't know what it is. It's not that I feel like I'm not giving that or that I'm not enough. Sometimes it's around gender. Sometimes it's around sure. like what I can't give or whatever. I'm just like, actually, I'm just jealous that like I was eating shit food here and you got biryani at those people. That's all I'm saying. So
sometimes
you didn't even bring me some takeaways is what I'm saying.
Sometimes I feel jealous because I'm like, shit, man. Because he used to have a type, right, of like person that he would go for. And I had a type, which is...
The type was white boys with tattoos.
And that's not my type.
Is that your type?
It was my type. My type has changed a lot.
So then start getting with people who are my type. I'm like, that leaves less people for me to get with because you're cuter. So now people are just going to go for you. So that was my jealousy. I was like, that is so unfair.
That's cute. I mean, I like this. So your sex sounds really exciting, but for those that don't know you or don't know what an open relationship can look like, what does your sex look like? Like, what does your sex life look like? Does it look like threesomes together? Does it look like individually seeking out things? Does it look like Grindr? Does it look like going on dates?
Sure.
What does this exciting new way of having sex look like?
Sure. I think it's safe to say it requires towels.
Oh my God.
I'm joking. In the more tangible fashion, but you can go, in terms of Grindr, etc., you can come.
I'm gonna bring us up to speed with the current time, right? So when we first started, we started with threesomes because that was us dipping our toes in the water. It got to the stage where we wanted different things, though. And finding one person to embody what we wanted in the sexual experience became really difficult. And I suggested that we should try being in an open relationship. And then now what it looks like is we will have a threesome. We're definitely not opposed to a threesome, but we're very aware.
We can have a ninesome. I don't
completely here for it. But we have noticed that not everyone's good at a threesome. The third party is very important, you know? And back in the day, that was our only avenue to experience somebody else. So we would go through a lot of shit experiences and then find a gem. Mm. But now with the threesome, unless we're really feeling a vibe with the person together and there's like, he might meet someone and be like, that guy's definitely a vibe, that person's definitely a vibe, then we can bring them over and we can all have fun. Generally, a threesome's rarer now in the relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only because it needs to be good. We've had amazing threesomes. So wow, is that a lot
with
to
a,
say?
With a threesome, right, like, there's so many dynamics at play.
So many.
I know.
There's so many dynamics at play that you have to kind of curate and manage. You can't just... Okay, we've been in threesomes where people just walk in and they're like, okay, shut up, let's fuck.
Which one's the bottom? Who's going to bottom? Come, okay, I'm just putting my dick in something.
That's not our vibe.
It can't be a threesome. That's just...
There needs to be a synergy. You need to be open to bodies, to respect, you know? And I think that's, I guess there is a negative part of, I don't like that phrase, but a sex positive lifestyle is that you also get some people that are think they live in a sex positive lifestyle, but going in like, okay, shop, where's the hole I can fuck? How many holes can I fuck right now? Like, sure, there's a place in sex
completely,
for that, it's a safe space. However, you know, if you enter that from a respectful point of view, then it's a safer space to play.
Mm-hmm. It's also how you have that conversation. So I think that, yes, if I went into a room with you two and we are going to discuss boundaries beforehand, and I go like, this is what I'm up for tonight.
Completely.
And what are you up for? And also, like, when you look at me, what's the attraction and what's the desire?
Yeah.
And when I look at you, what's the attraction, what's the desire? Yeah. And what are the two of you feeling for each other for tonight?
Yeah.
You know, if you approach it in that way, then, I mean, bitch, you might get everything that you want instead of going like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And how many can I get? And who's going to bottom? And who can I pick? And what's going to... I mean, now you're turning everyone off.
Completely.
Exactly.
So it's very hard now within a COVID time, right? So we became open in COVID. Like, just before the pandemic hit, we had had our first hookup.
A little bit before, yeah.
But a little bit because...
We embraced it during COVID.
Yeah, we embraced it just before COVID happened. We had, I think, traveled to Joburg, and we were sort of open there, but it was happening like once in a blue moon. It wasn't a set thing. Came back to Cape Town, started like trying to hook up with people, and then the pandemic hit, and we start like... we were very scared of COVID, so we never hooked up until we got COVID in December. And we were like, cool, we had it. We had antibodies for a bit. Let's go wild.
Antibody sex, yeah.
So what I was trying to say is that Grindr's been the only avenue.
Unfortunately.
And we have a lot of qualms with Grindr. Like,
it's more a miss than a hit.
And only because a big thing for me is that when people step onto this platform, it feels like they forget all means of communication as a decent human being.
The energy I need for people on Grindr.
I'm not saying don't send me a dick pic. I'm not saying that we can't talk about sex immediately when I'm on there. But I feel people don't have respect on Grindr. Would you speak to me like that if you saw me in person? Because I know for a fact you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's what grates me. Mm. That we can't forget all modes of respect when we're on this app. So currently, that's been the only avenue.
Yeah.
We have met people where if I see someone cute, I'll go get their number. And currently, I'm very open to going on dates and stuff to get to know someone. Because I've realized I don't feel safe enough hooking up with someone on Grindr. Not all the time. But... there's very often I don't feel safe and I cannot enjoy sex if I'm not feeling safe.
Yeah.
It just, who can? It's just not nice. And then dates, meeting people.
Sure. If I like something, I want it. Like, that's my problem. So like, it's bad. Like if I'm walking down a road or something, I like someone like, oh my flip, I need this. I need it and I get fixated on it. So currently I find Instagram better than Grindr. Because now I'll just be like, hey, Sharp, I think you're cute. Shout my way if you ever want to do that.
Shout my way. You sound like me. I'm so scared people are going to screenshot my DMs.
I'm just going to be honest about it. And then, yeah, sometimes that gets met well, but other times not. But yeah, like any social media where I can just reach out to you.
Yeah, I think that it's an important thing that you've said about Grindr. Tinder, I feel like people have forgotten how to like say anything. You know, they say like hi and they have like small talk and it's nothing realistic.
Yeah.
And we're just not real with each other and like saying what we want.
Yeah.
Where Grindr, I feel like people... are just like on a fast moving track or maybe getting a lot of rejection or trying to get a lot of fucks.
Yeah.
And it's just fast. And it's just like, hey, want to do this? Cool. Bye. Cool.
Agreed.
And it's like, hey, here's a dick pic. Send me yours. And it's just like, it's too fast.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want Tinder slow pace, but like
so
Grindr, just find a little, I love Grindr. I really, really think, in 2022, I'm going to make a Grindr app for the lesbians and for the queers.
I'm there for it.
Maybe it's going to call Trib. You know,
wasn't there a lesbian dating app back in the day, like 5-6 years ago? Was there never one?
I think there are a few. But
none that's like in South Africa that's popping.
And nothing that is actually like sex orientated. It hasn't been used in that way.
I see.
But anyway.
But I feel like we need one that's more non-binary.
Yeah, just one that's queer.
Yeah.
Because we also like, I think people just assume that everyone is in the binaries of like gay and lesbian. But a lot of us are pan and like really open.
Yeah.
And it
like as a pansexual person, like where. There's not an app that can facilitate the sexual endeavors you might want as
I think if I went on Grindr, people would be like, why are you here? And I'd be like, because I am attracted to like men and gay men and trans men, and where do I find that?
Exactly.
What if I just want to fuck quickly?
Yeah.
You know, where must I go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you spoke a bit about fucking during COVID times and having antibodies. So how do you protect yourself? Like, how do you protect your heart, firstly, from like falling and getting feelings? And how do you protect yourself from getting any STIs or bringing STIs home, and protecting yourself from COVID?
So this is a good question.
Why do you always touch me when there's a good question?
So I can feel supported.
So you can show that he's giving you love.
So luckily, we were in a situation with two friends of ours. They were previously just friends. And we were lucky enough to have, or fortunate enough rather, to have experienced the fall in for. Because I think Kira at that point thought that he was falling for the other person.
Absolutely not.
Yes, it was. I'm telling you, this is my side of the story. And
okay,
then you can,
I'll tell my side. And then you can tell.
So he had fallen for someone, right? During our relationship. He admitted it afterwards.
No, that's it. No, I never admitted
that. Yes, you did.
How could I admit something that wasn't
okay,
true?
Okay, so tell your side then.
Okay, so I really... And just the way I didn't fall for anyone, I'm very guarded. I do not fall for people. That's me being with for this long's a shocker. It took me so long to say, okay, I'm in the relationship.
Cold hearted this one.
I'm here now. I am, but because I've been hurt so much, and I think I've got such a soft heart, and I think my friends know this, that I don't like to be hurt, and I've experienced so much pain that. I had this idea that relationships are never going to last. It's doomed from the beginning. But sort of got over that. So this specific situation is talking about, I did feel, and I think this, I think I'm going to articulate what you said, but differently. And I think...
Go for it.
We were hooking up with our friends, and there was definitely a connection there. I was not falling for him.
Speak to us about that connection.
But there was a connection. Other than I've never sort of liked someone in a sort of romantic way. However, saying falling for someone implies that I wanted to be with them. I didn't. I completely understood that there was a chemistry there and I liked it. I didn't think anyone needed to know about it because I was never going to act on it. I just liked the feeling and... unpacking it for myself that I was capable of feeling this way for somebody else because I never thought I could. Mm. And not in the same way I felt about just like a sort of flame. And I like that. And that's where it needed to end. But
so I think it's safe to say now for everyone that falling for is subjective.
I just don't like that term.
From person to person. What I was trying to say, what was so fortunate for us is that we experienced that was because it allowed us very early on into this exploration to identify what is infatuation? What are the small flames? What are those, you know, just because you have butterflies for someone doesn't mean now you're going to run off and get married and go a complete different direction.
And how to also give into that because sometimes you can enjoy the sex a bit more. It doesn't change how you feel about your partner.
But it's so important to be able to identify that and say, and then be communicative about it, right? Mm. So if Kim was, let's say, for argument's sake, falling for or picking up feelings or infatuated with someone, then it's so important to say that out loud. You know, so you're not creating this narrative in your own mind, but say it out loud and say, look, I'm actually kind of feeling this for someone. So we both know where we stand with it, right?
So I agree. Now I think we should. I don't necessarily think we have to. If you don't think it's going to aid anything, I know myself. As an actor, that's what we live to do, right? To understand the channels that exist within our bodies. I knew I didn't need to say anything because it was never going to go anywhere. I didn't want it to go anywhere. I was just enjoying the feeling, like eating a chocolate and really enjoying it and being like, sure, it's going to end sometime, but it's cool.
Until their husband asked me if I know they're falling for each other.
And that's where that's going to stop. That we're done with that one.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
So about that.
We'll leave it there. I mean, we also have to, it's a fine line that we navigate of having personal feelings that we enjoy
ourselves and we let ourselves go into it, and then keeping secrets.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, hiding things.
Yeah.
In the beginning of me being poly, I was extremely snaky. And I knew I was being snaky when I was lying. Like there was one thing of like keeping this personal, but then to actually lie, I was like, bitch, you're cheating. But okay.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There is a fine line with that. Even in the beginning, I was, I think, sort of embarrassed with the conversations I was having with people, because I felt like, oh, I'm saying quite a lot. I wonder how I'm going to feel about this. But yeah, we just needed to sort of talk about it and come to terms with the fact that we are having these sort of conversations with other people and that it's okay.
So, but thank you so much to you two for being open.
Thank you.
And coming on open wide. So, you know.
Nice.
Thank you. And I love you both, and I love your love. And I love your relationship. So.
Thanks, friend.
Thank
we
you.
Love thank you. You so much.
Yes, sir.